I don't usually preach three times on Sunday morning. I haven't recently. But it has been a joy. It's been a joy to meet with the staff and your music leaders and all these. And they've been leading me around by the hand this morning. And I've been changing gears on them, and and they're going in a different direction. But they didn't know I was testing them to see how flexible they are. In churches where I've preached, I've always had preachers in the congregation who preach better than I do, and counselors who are better counselors than I am, and that's all right. I enjoy that. You may not know that at one time, we almost got John Oswald as an associate pastor, and when he was coming into the conference, and he had to do a year's internship, but the bishop didn't go for it. Wouldn't it have been something that you can visualize this, people coming up to me and saying, Jim, you do okay, but when is Dr. Oswald going to preach again? That would have been the way it went, Sunday after Sunday. But this morning, we've had some great times baptizing children and serving communion and sharing together. And let me very quickly share with you some thoughts about shadows. All of us experience shadows that come over our lives, that take away the brightness, that leave us uncertain and sometimes fearful. On a women's retreat that my wife attended, Colleen, she's down here, in case you didn't see her. A woman told about always dreaming in color. And she told her a dream that she had had the night before at the retreat. And it was a dream of a beautiful meadow filled with all the varied colors of flowers. And they thrilled her heart as she looked at the flowers and was ravishing beauty. But then she began to be saddened because there began to move over the meadow a shadow. And the shadow was covering the beauty of the flowers. And then the shadow began to break up and settle on the flowers, and the shadow was made up of butterflies, the symbol of new life. Shadows coming because of the approaching of new life, new opportunities. And all of us have those shadows. But does the Bible authenticate that shadows turn into sunrises? That God is able to take the difficulties of life and work something out that's new and fresh and promising? Yes. If you look at the book of Genesis, the first chapter talks about the creation. And then there comes these lines. There was evening and there was morning. The first day. Evening, morning, day. That's not how we think of a day. We think of a day from sunrise to sunset. But was the writer suggesting something deeper than just chronology? Was he saying that God is always working from evening to morning? That God works from sun, God takes sunsets and out of them creates sunrises. I think that's what he was saying. Jump over to the book of Revelation. Long sermon. We've already covered the whole Bible. John the Apostle had been exiled because of his preaching, and he had been ministering to people he loved. But the Romans came along and said, "No, you got to go." And they sent him to an island called Patmos. And there in his loneliness, with the shadows overwhelming him, all the opportunities that have been his now are gone. The people he's loved are gone. His ministry is now gone. The shadows had really come. And then he, in those moments of sunset, he met someone who was familiar to him that he had known in other years. And Jesus came and said, "Don't be afraid, John. I'm the first and I'm the last. Rome isn't the one who'll have the last say. I will have the last say." And out of that experience came the book of Revelation. Sunsets, sunrises, shadows, new days. That's covered in the book, in the Gospels as well, and you know very well the story of how the disciples had thought they'd committed themselves to the one who had been prophesied for hundreds of years. They had left everything. They had bet everything on one turn of the card. Excuse me. You don't gamble? I don't either. But I heard that somewhere. Everything had been committed to this one man. And now he's dead. Talk about the shadows of discouragement and despondency. All of life had crumbled right there before them. It was over. And then came the resurrection. And the shadows of despondency and discouragement were butterflies of new life. I think that's a message for us. The shadow that some, and maybe all, are feeling at this time in your history. And we're looking at the shadow, and the shadow has come so quickly. And right now we find it difficult to believe that shadows can be turned into sunrises. But I can tell you that the shadows of this past week for me, if you had talked to me even yesterday morning, you wouldn't have believed that I could stand here and speak and speak for on three services. And the Lord led me to the prayer of relinquishment, and we were able to lay it down, and the promise, you'll come out of those three services stronger than when you went in the first. That's happened. Sunsets, sunrises. God is always working in our lives to do that. And the greatest of the sunsets was the death of Christ. And as someone has said, evil may live and rule on the first on Friday and again on Saturday, but God always rules on the third day. Give God his third day for this congregation and for this community. And out of the shadows of the cross, for 2,000 years, people have been feasting on the remembrances of the blood and body of Christ. And they've been going out to do miracles. Maybe little miracles like David, but miracles. And I believe, and that's not the sermon I plan to preach this morning. And that's another story altogether too. But that's the message that I think was for this morning. And so, Sean, if you will come and help me, please.